KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have partly cloudy skies, mostly clouds hanging around the horizon, and we have 41 degrees here at the KJN studios. Look for mostly sunny skies here today and a high of 66. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in local news here on KJAN. A longtime Atlantic employer has announced plans to lay off employees. Officials with Owner Revolution Incorporated told their employees at the Plastic Professionals in Atlantic about the expected reduction in the workforce, and in a press release on Friday said, quote, a number of employees of ORI at its location in Atlantic will experience layoffs as a result of unforeseen business conditions due to a cancellation of its contract with a major customer. According to some employees, the customer is Yeti Coolers. ORI said in a news release that they consider the layoffs to be permanent and that as part of the corporate reorganization, ORI will continue operation of its manufacturing facilities by maintaining its other customers and by obtaining additional contracts or new business. They went on to say that if those efforts are successful, some ORI employees may be maintained or recalled to work. However, because of the success of such efforts are entirely unknown at this time, ORI has informed employees who are laid off that they should not count on being recalled to employment. In addition, the company said temporary layoffs that were previously announced on March 30th will now become permanent. Additional layoffs were expected to begin around April 21st, yesterday. The layoffs may come in stages depending on the need for workers as the canceled customer contract is completed. Layoffs are most likely to occur before June 30th, but maybe sooner or later. Again, depending on the business need to maintain its workers as the full impact of that contract cancellation and the resulting corporate reorganization becomes known. Company officials stressed that the layoffs affect the plastic professionals in Atlantic only, which produces a wide variety of rotationally molded plastic products serving the needs of many industries and customers. ORI's other operations, including Schaefer Systems, Connectadoc, and Schaefer Solutions, are not affected. ORI has facilities in both Adair and Atlantic, with a combined manufacturing and office space of over 300,000 square feet. ORI was founded in 1986 and became an employee stock ownership plan company in 1999. The Red Oak Police Department arrested a Red Oak man on Friday after investigation into a domestic incident. At 8:15 p.m., officers arrested 26-year-old Michael Todd Archer of Red Oak for domestic abuse assault, a simple misdemeanor. Archer was arrested in the 1900 block of East Summit Street in Red Oak and taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on no bond until seen by a magistrate. Red Oak police were assisted by Montgomery County deputies during the arrest. Another domestic assault arrest occurred earlier that day in Red Oak. At 11:45 a.m., officers arrested 53-year-old Robert Wade Abraham at 6th and Maple Streets in Red Oak. Abraham was charged with domestic assault second offense and taken to the Montgomery County Jail. He was held on no bond pending an appearance before a magistrate. And the Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a Red Oak man on multiple charges Friday evening. At 5:42 p.m., officers arrested 19-year-old James Michael McCauley of Red Oak on a valid Montgomery County arrest warrant for theft in the third degree. He was arrested at the intersection of West 4th and West Washington Streets. McCauley was also charged with possession of controlled substance methamphetamine. He was taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $2,000 cash bond. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports two arrests were made after a traffic stop early this morning. At 12:47 a.m., deputies stopped a vehicle driven by Mandy Lee Calkins of Corning. Calkins failed field sobriety standardized test and was placed under arrest for operating while intoxicated first offense. Calkins was also charged with possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. A passenger in the vehicle, Ann Marie Hinton, was also arrested for possession of a controlled substance methamphetamine second offense and possession of drug paraphernalia. Calkins and Hinton were taken into custody and held on $2,300 bond each. The Adams County Sheriff's Office released details on a couple of recent drug-related arrests. On Saturday, April 15th at 9:38 p.m., Adams County deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle operated by 19-year-old Kaylin Denise Smith of Messina. After investigation, Smith was arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia. She was taken into custody and held on $300 bond. On Sunday, April 16th, Adams County deputies investigated a trespassing complaint in Corning. Deputies spoke with 62-year-old James Robert Brown of Corning outside his residence and detected the odor of burnt marijuana coming from the residence. A consent search revealed numerous smoking devices, marijuana, a marijuana grinder, and rolling papers. Brown was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The Audubon County Sheriff Todd Johnson reports his office has received numerous calls from citizens reporting they have received a phone call or had a recording left on their phone from someone claiming to be from the IRS. Johnson says with new technology, the scammers can use their number as the IRS or even the Department of Treasury. The scam has been around for years, but Johnson says it seems to be hitting Audubon County more frequently. The callers claim to be from the IRS and threaten to take legal action. Sheriff Todd Johnson would like to remind citizens that the IRS does not call to demand immediate payment over the phone, nor will the agency call about taxes without first mailing a bill. Also, never give any personal or financial information over the phone. Douglas Miller, founder and spokesperson for the Take Back Bridgewater, Iowa group, says its leadership, members, and citizens are invited to a short meeting with 3rd District Republican Congressman David Young on Monday, April 24th at 5 p.m. The meeting will be held in the basement of the Bridgewater United Methodist Church at 224 North Main Street in Bridgewater. Congressman David Young's office staff responded to a letter sent by Miller asking for support and assistance in combating an ongoing drug problem in Bridgewater. The director for Congressman Young said in his response to Miller, "We would like this meeting to be a starting point for a much lengthier conversation." The nonprofit initiative Take Back Bridgewater, Iowa was formed to unite citizens with efforts to reduce ongoing criminal events as drug-related activities increase in the small rural Adair County town. More information about that meeting and Take Back Bridgewater, Iowa can be found on the Facebook page by the same name. A 25-year-old man has been sentenced to life in prison for hacking to death his girlfriend, her teenage daughter, and their landlord with a machete in central Iowa. The Des Moines Register reports that Carlos Hernandez Ventura was sentenced on Friday, a month after being found guilty on 3 counts of first-degree murder. Prosecutors say Hernandez Ventura used a machete on October 29th to kill 34-year-old Lourdes Flor Delique, 14-year-old Melanie Barraza, and 78-year-old Juan Jimenez Tejada at the home in Perry. At trial, Hernandez Ventura had testified that Leek's estranged husband ordered the deaths, but investigators say they found no evidence that he was involved. Raw milk advocates' efforts to expand availability across the U.S. have not slowed despite health officials' assertions that it's dangerous to drink milk that hasn't been heated to kill bacteria. Efforts to legalize raw milk sales in some form have succeeded in 42 states, and expansion pushes are ongoing this year in states including Illinois, Massachusetts, Montana, New Jersey, Rhode Island, North Dakota, and Texas. All raw milk sales are banned in 8 states. Dr. Megan Nichols with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says health officials worry that as access to raw milk increases, so will illnesses. Despite those concerns, people in states like Iowa that outlaw raw milk sales frequently travel to states such as Missouri where they can buy milk they believe is healthier. And to Clarinda, Police Chief Keith Brothers reports that around 10:30 a.m. on Friday, officers with the Clarinda Police Department and deputies from the Page County Sheriff's Department executed a felony fugitive from justice warrant from the state of Florida. A 35-year-old Liberty Joy Holland of Clarinda was subsequently arrested in the 200 block of North 19th Street. Holland was wanted on an outstanding felony warrant from the Osceola County, Florida, for failing to appear for arraignment connected to the alleged assault and battery of a law enforcement officer. Holland is currently in custody at the Page County Jail and is being held without bond pending extradition to Florida. That's a look at the latest in news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. George William Marnich, age 86 of Stewart, died April 8th at the Stewart Community Care Center. A massive Christian burial for George Marnich will be held today at 10 a.m. at All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Lyle Shroom, age 91 of Urbandale, died April 15th at Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Lyle Shroom will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. Donald L. Merck, age 80 of Audubon, died December 21st at the Friendship Home in Audubon. A celebration of life memorial service for Donald Merck will be held Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Ross Calvary United Methodist Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Joan M. Heller, age 81, of Audubon, died Thursday at the Exara Care Center. Funeral services for Joan Heller will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Lauren Lyman, age 81, of Oakland, died Wednesday at home. Funeral services for Lauren Lyman will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. LaVon Smouse, age 97, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday at the Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for LaVon Smouse will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church near Coon Rapids. OD Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Lloyd Nelson, age 89, of Kimbleton, died Thursday at Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Lloyd Nelson will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Neva Irene Compton, age 94, of Guthrie Center, died April 15th at the Guthrie County Hospital. Graveside services for Neva Compton will be held on Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. at the Bear Grove Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home Guthrie Center has arrangements. Alice Nellie Bixler, age 94, of Anita and formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Graveside services for Alice Bixler will be held on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. That's April 29th at the Carl Cemetery in Carl. Pearson Family Funeral Service and Cremation Center of Corning has arrangements. Delbert C. Bulware, age 83, of Panora, died on Monday at the Panora Specialty Care. Memorial services for Delbert C. Bulware will be held at noon on April 29th at the Church of Christ in Yale. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Leon Lundy, age 78, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Greenfield Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center in Greenfield. Funeral services for Leon Lundy are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Brad Yarger, age 65, of Centerton, Arkansas, died Friday at the Mercy Hospital in Springfield, Missouri. The services for Brad Yarger are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at the latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.